It's beautiful here today. It's 48 degrees. Cool, delicious, and not raining, which is just fine because we've had our share for a bit. Give the ground a little bit of time to dry out, and then we'll be back right with you. Nova Scotia, calling out to you. Glad all the faddlers are home. It is time for Arts Live and Local. I'm going to give you some music, but if you've got a Coast Weekend right there, you can have a look at page 9, because that's where my first guests are jumping right off the page. First, we've got some music from Mali, the latest atrocity going on there, but the people keep the culture going. The music is fabulous. Let's have a listen. Thanks so much for being here. Be right back at you.
Nenda bali te baite war bahe go sa Walandi futu futu o ma koi hun yergi nenda bali te baite war bahe go sa Ndajiri vaka koi ndajiri yaga kunan ndajere ker jamba puti jamba je. Walanda jiri vaka koi jiri yaga kunan ndajere ker jamba puti jamba je.
Some music from Ali Farka Touré, the king of the desert blues singers. This is a 2006 release, I believe. From Mali. Music from Mali. Fantastic music. Good hairdos, too. But that's another story. Ask me sometime. Right now, it is time for my first guests, and I did mention that they're spread out on a whole page, Once Upon a Mattress. Yes, you have heard of it. The Princess and the Pea was the original, I believe, but I'm going to hear more from my guests. I have one of the actors and the director, and I'm delighted. Sheila Schaefer is here. She's a wizard. She's a wizard this week. Last week, she was a director.
Yes.
How quickly we change, you know? It's a wonderful thing to be so flexible. I guess that's what the arts are about, so. And Arnie Humesty is here. Hi, Arnie.
Hi, nice to be here.
This is great. Now, we talked about what was your first and what, but have you been on the radio before, on this station?
No, I have not.
You have not.
My brother was
right,
on.
Right. Arnie's brother used to do a show, a full half-hour story in Finnish. And I was telling him, I used to listen, though I understand nothing, because it was like poetry or like music. It was just delightful. Those were in the early days of KMUN. But Arnie is here as a director, and it seems that he is, if I have this right, he's a double virgin today. He's a virgin on KMUN radio.
Correct.
And a virgin director at the Coaster.
At the Coaster.
At
this
the
is
Coaster.
my first experience at the Coaster, other than as an audience member. I've seen a lot of plays there.
Now, how did they manage to get you in to be a director at the Coaster, if you have, and you live here in Astoria?
I live in Astoria.
What inspired you to, now we're going to get to your background, which is full of direction. I just had to get that virgin experience in there, you'll pardon me, but, but how did you end up getting to the Coaster?
Well, I had kind of been away from theater for a while after I retired because of family illnesses and moving and other things. And I just kind of wanted to get my finger back in. And so I just mentioned to Patrick Lathrop, the producing director there, that if they ever need a director, that I've had experience. And he said, then he approached me and says, well, we need a director for Mattress.
Right.
And so,
wow. So you retired from what?
Teaching was my last experience.
What were you were you teaching theater or English or?
I was teaching theater. I taught theater in high schools. My first teaching experience was at Napa High School, which is where the school I graduated from.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went. I acted for several seasons at the Oregon Shakespearean Festival. And when I finished at Napa, I directed here in Astoria. I don't know if.
Wait a second. Get me back there again. How did the Shakespeare Festival fit in? That was...
Well, actually, I was still in college when I first went to
the...
That was way back in 1967, my first year there, and I was there in 68. And then I went back again in 1973.
Were you studying in Southern Oregon?
No, I was at Portland State.
Studying theater, though?
Theater.
Good for you. Boy.
And so after I finished at Napa, I went back for another season at Ashland. But I also directed in Astoria back then. I don't know if many people remember back in the 70s.
But I was here.
There used to be a Lewis and Clark Civic Theater.
Absolutely.
Where the Columbia Movie Theater is now.
Yeah, Chautauqua was there. Mm-hmm. We did a lot of things there.
I directed Macbeth there and The Fantastics.
Wow.
And I don't know if people remember the old-timers, but Kay Bredlow was in it, and Maureen Sundstrom. And,
of course,
and,
of course.
Mary Craig and Bunny and Graham Dorr and a lot of the old theater people back then. And then I started a little movie theater in Astoria called the Red Balloon Picture
Show. That was
you?
Yeah. Oh, my God. I still have my ticket from there.
Really?
I still do. That was wonderful.
It was a little ahead of its time, I think. And it was struggling.
Wasn't that on 10th Street?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was down near the waterfront.
Yeah. And the projector was... rather audible, but we loved it.
It was
by subscription or something. It was wonderful. Yeah. I did not know that was yours.
Yeah.
Okay, what else have you done? Let me see. I'm connecting with all the history of
flounder, actually there was a group that took it over. Friends of the Red Balloon kind of took it over for a while as a nonprofit, but then I needed to replenish my funds, so I went back into teaching. I went down to California. I was teaching at College of the Redwoods and at Del Norte High School down in Crescent City, teaching theater down there. And I started community theater there in Crescent City, the Lighthouse Repertory Theater, which is still operating.
Nice.
And then I decided when I was down there to get a master's in library science and came back to Portland State and did that, and then taught for another year in high school where I was teaching drama, and I was kind of half-time librarian and half drama. And then that school was a private school, and after it was the oldest school in Oregon at the time. And
in Portland?
No, it was near Salem.
Uh-huh.
And it was... I taught there 1 year, and the school closed.
Wait a minute.
So I have no idea whether it was what was it.
Well, your record is interesting. You've started things that continued after you left, and some that still continue today. And then there was this school that you popped in, and it closed.
Down,
okay, good.
And then so I started looking for other I was looking for librarian positions at that time, since I just got my degree, and I was applying, and there was one elementary librarian position up in Washington State, up in Ferndale, Washington, near the Canadian border.
Oh, wow.
And I went for an interview there, and I had another interview in Oregon at an Oregon high school the next day, but I got a call from that Ferndale school offering me the position, and I says, well, I'd kind of like to have this interview at the high school in Oregon, and they just said, well, we have other qualified candidates.
Oh,
and
my
so
God.
It was a kind of a take it or not proposition, so I took it, and I was an elementary librarian, but I was directing 4th, 5th, and 6th graders in plays for quite a number of years.
Nice. Was that kind of interesting, since you came from here, to you've spread your wings on the West Coast from California up all the way up to the border?
Yeah, it's
Canadian border.
It's actually every place I've been has been really a nice place. I mean, Crescent City's just beautiful, right on the coast and amongst the redwoods and I was living in Bellingham, actually, teaching in Ferndale, but living in Bellingham, and that's a beautiful spot too. Mm-hmm. So I've
and
been
now
fortunate.
You're back in
Clatsop
County.
Home. Yeah, after I retired, I just this Astoria feels like home.
Good, good. So have you done any theater since you came back, or is this the first?
Just as a spectator.
As a spectator, right? Audience member, which, as we know, right, Sheila, is very important.
Yes.
Oh, yes. So, okay, now, I think I heard you say Patrick asked you to do Once Upon a Mattress. So you didn't have anything to do with choosing it. Had you done musicals before, though?
Yeah, I've done, in fact, all of the shows I did with the 4th, 5th, and 6th graders were musicals, and I did that for 24 years, so I did a lot of them.
We did
Gilbert and Sullivan and Hello, Dolly, and Fiddler on the Roof, and a lot of, sophisticated things for that age.
How is it working with adults now? Or is there any difference?
Well, there is a difference, and I think it's been a kind of a little transition for me, and I think it's the cast and Mattress were not really expecting my type of direction, because for the last 24 years I've been very specific blocking and giving every, and they don't need that here. But
In your defense, you warned us that.
Yeah, there was a learning curve for me here.
To just kind of, you could relax a little bit and trust the actors kind of thing.
Definitely, because there's a very talented group of people there at the Coaster.
Absolutely.
So.
Sheila, how big is the cast?
I think it's about 15?
20.
20.
20.
He would know. Oh. He's the one that had to, herd the cats.
I see. Exactly. Oh, my goodness. I don't know what's going on here with sound. Folks, I hope it sounds good to you in the audience, because what's coming in my ears is a little bit strange. But Sheila, what are you playing in this Once Upon a Mattress?
Oh, I'm playing the wizard, which is basically the queen's henchman, woman. And
okay, I understand what happened.
We have our thing switched.
Okay. Yeah, the mics are switched. you skipped one mic right there in the middle. Actually, you know what? I'm going to get you to grab that mic.
There
Thank you.
Go. Is that better?
Hello.
Oh, that is so much better. Oh, you know, I just want to put an intercept in here, because this is perfect. Manzanita is having a mystery weekend, the whole weekend, doing all kinds of things. So I think we just started that off right here at KMUN, because I could not figure out why I was hearing strange things. And we got it now. We're in charge. Okay, so Sheila Schaefer, who has done a little of everything, or a lot of everything, I should say. And she had a new experience also last week the play that was done was staged reading.
The staged reading of Visiting Mr. Green for the AUW Scholarship.
And that was your first staged reading as opposed to...
To direct, yeah, my first
fully,
directed. Yeah.
Right, right.
Yes, so. I was very used to mounted, complete with everything. So that was a bit of a transition
Isn't
to adjust.
Isn't that interesting? And so having to adjust, and now you're... Arnie having to adjust. So, Sheila, you're a character?
Yes, I'm playing the wizard, which is basically the queen's henchwoman, and also the Nightingale of Samarkand, which is, well, they'll find out.
Key role.
If you're a nightingale, you must sing.
Yes. Oh, if that's what you want to call it. Yes.
Oh dear.
She sings beautifully and she squawks.
I see. A little of each. I see. Now, is this script, this is Once Upon a Mattress, as we said, based on Princess and the Pea, I believe, is that?
The Hans Christian Andersen story.
Right, which is much beloved. Is this what you're doing, one that was done on Broadway or where?
Yes, it was originally on Broadway with Carol Burnett back in 1959, and that's kind of where she really became a star. It was through that vehicle.
Okay. So I'm just checking to make sure.
And there was a couple of revivals, and we're doing the original script that Carol Burnett did.
That's what I was wondering.
Several years ago, Sarah Jessica Parker played the part on Broadway, and there's actually a revival right now in off-Broadway. With Jackie Hoffman in the role, and there's a famous female impersonator, Lipsinka, playing the queen.
You're not doing that in Cannon Beach.
Not
this time, maybe another show. So give us some, I said Princess and the Pea, but there are probably a few people out there who really don't know what this whole thing is about, this Once Upon a Mattress. So either one of you.
It's a fairy tale about a overbearing mother queen who won't let her son get married, basically, until she finds the perfect princess. And she has tests for the princesses to be, the contenders, which are always basically rigged.
Impossible.
Yeah, impossible. So Princess Winifred, played by Amanda Payne in our production,
yes.
She comes along, and the test for her is to put a pea under 20 downy mattresses. And if she can't feel it, then she's not a true princess.
Okay.
Which is essentially what the Hans Christian Andersen story was, except the queen wasn't so malevolent in that story.
No, he wouldn't do that.
No.
And it does. Is there a chorus as well? Is that why
there's knights
20?
And ladies in waiting?
Okay.
Oh yes.
Okay.
And
I was thinking there must be something to. That's a lot of characters.
Mm-hmm.
Has it been a good time?
Oh, yes.
I've enjoyed it. There have been some struggles, but it's been a fun experience, and it's a fun show. I think it's just the kind of thing that people can just sit back and just relax and enjoy. It's no heavy messages.
Right. We need a little bit.
Maybe you can't judge a book by its cover, but I think it's essentially a kind of a zany show, farce.
I'm wondering how, and maybe I'm out of touch, but usually I remember the coaster, because this runs all the way through December 20th, so this is basically the winter show, the holiday time show. In the past, coaster, and Sheila, you would know this, has done more, Christmassy type shows.
Well, they started... For the longest time, it was always a Christmas Carol and the version of a Christmas Carol, probably because it's in the public domain and it's free to do.
It's a good reason.
And then several years back, they decided to do musicals.
and they started out with Fiddler on the Roof as their first musical.
That was wonderful.
And they did Sound of Music after that. And it was just around the holidays, it just seemed to be a really good draw for the families that are coming to visit.
Mm-hmm. And this is definitely an all-age show. So that's
so it's definitely, they try to find the family-friendly type musical or show to do at that time.
Okay. So. Well, that makes sense. Yeah, I'd forgotten Fiddler, and I was still stuck on all those years. And when did the Coaster do Oliver?
That I believe they did, but that was before my time.
Before your time? That was long.
I believe that was in
that went on for quite a while.
90s.
Next winter, however, the Christmas show is not a musical. They're doing It's a Wonderful Life,
which I'm directing. So.
So
it's the first non-musical they're having in that slot, but it's also the large cast and it's Christmas oriented. So they thought they'd try to switch it up a bit. And see how that goes.
That's a heart warmer, too.
Yes.
The Coaster also has some auditions coming, which are for very different kind of play. And this is, I just thought as long as we're talking Coaster, I would mention it. I don't know whether either of you knows much about this.
A little bit.
On the 30th, November 30th and December 1st, from 6 until 8, Dead Guilty. Mm-hmm. And that's being directed by Edward James. Do you know anything about the play?
The play is a psychological thriller. A young woman who was in a car accident. The driver, her lover, had a heart attack, and then you find out she's visited by the her lover's widow.
Oops.
And
living widow.
Living widow.
Oh.
And so.
Okay.
I don't want to say any more than that without giving away the plot, but it's very
quite the opposite of Once Upon a Mattress, I would say. Okay, and then the same dates, the 30th of November and the 1st of December, but later time, and these times overlap, so I don't know whether they're using different parts of the...
Yeah, usually they have, either they share the stage and go back and forth, or they have one... audition across the street above the bank or something like that. So,
because is 7:30 to 9:30 is the Apple Tree, and Patrick is going to be Patrick Lathrop is going to be directing, and that is a musical, and that you actually do need to sing at the audition. You really need more information about these. I just wanted to get it out there, and you can go to Coaster Theater. That's re.com and get all the details, and then if you have any questions, you can check in with folks at the Coaster.
Yeah, they have all the show descriptions and all the auditions listed on their website.
Right, and what you need to bring with you or have ready for the audition. So, but in the meantime, for now, enjoy yourself with Once Upon a Mattress, directed by Arnie Humisty, and Wizarded by Sheila Schaefer. And it is running Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. Friday and Saturday, 7:30. Sundays at 3 through December 20th. Anything else we need to know?
There's one Thursday performance also. And if they go to the website, they can see
December
the exact
3rd.
Dates.
Okay.
So.
I'll just note that here. Good. Is that the Talkback?
That's a Talkback Thursday.
Yeah, Talkback is great. So, okay, excellent. Thank you so much for coming in.
Oh, it's been a pleasure.
And Arnie, it's, you know, you don't get to break your leg, but congratulations on moving into the Coaster range. And Sheila, break a leg.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay, great to have you here. And that, again, is the Coaster Theater in Cannon Beach. The phone number there is 503-436-1242. You can call them right now and get yourself some tickets. The seats at the Coaster are reserved, so it's good to get them up front if you know when you want to go. So, okay, I do have some music for you from Ara Lee, who is performing at, when is she performing? I was so happy to get the to find the CD that I forgot to check. Tell you what, let's have a listen, and then I will tell you when she is performing. Era Lee, right here on Coast Community Radio. She's a wonderful performer. Well, you could hear the song, but I highly recommend you see her in person. And, of course, the information is right in front of me, which is why I missed it. Era Lee is going to be at the Peninsula Performing Arts Center in Long Beach, right on the main road. That is tomorrow evening with gospel, soul, blues. And they're celebrating Marie Antoinette's birthday. Isn't that fun? I don't know whether that's going to influence the music or not. With her is Chris Hayes on guitar, and he is fabulous as well. I last saw the two of them with Catherine and in one of the other wonderful venues on the peninsula, so Catherine Clare. Okay, well, my next guests are visual artists, and they are, I don't know much about their background, so we're all going to learn together, but they're both being honored these 3 months with an artist in residency by the Astoria Visual Arts. And this is a relatively new program. They AVA started, I think this is the third time they're having artists in residence. And it's a 3-month gig where the artist is given a space, and I'm not sure what else. But we'll let my guests tell you. So Kinsey Gordon is here. Hi, Kinsey.
Hi, Carol.
And which space are you in?
I'm above the fish market at the end of 11th Street.
Okay. So apparently that's called the Allen Building, which I didn't know, but that's, yeah.
I like fish market.
Yeah. Is the fish market still happening, though, or is it closed?
Yeah, yeah, oh, they're still open. Yeah, oh. I mean, it's not as busy as the summer, but they're still there selling fish. It's uh-huh. great. They're really nice
How's
people.
The smell? Smell?
You know, I was curious before I started, but there's no smell.
No smell, huh?
Yeah.
And aren't they giving you free fish and crab?
No,
whatnot.
No, no.
Oh, I thought they did for your opening.
No, they didn't.
Hey, Liz, you got a great idea, though.
I know.
That's our other...
Let's milk this connection.
Our other AIR artist, Liz Harris, who is in the Hobson Building on Commercial.
Right, exactly.
So do you know what streets? What street is that?
It's on Commercial.
Between 11 maybe and...
I can't remember. It's 1170 Commercial.
It is. Oh, okay. That's yeah. it. Then. So you're right there between 11th and 12th, right in there with all the galleries, et cetera. So,
yes.
And you're like on the water, mm-hmm. And that's about 11th Street also?
It's just right at the end of 11th Street.
End of 11th. Mm-hmm. So you're both, yeah. Okay. What a great idea. So before I get into your art background, tell us a little bit about what happens with AIR? You get the space,
mm-hmm.
and how did you do that? Was there an open application, or did they approach you, or how did it work? Either of you can, both of you at the same time can.
Mm-hmm. Well, I met Rebecca, and she had talked to me about applying, and on their website for the Astoria Visual Arts, they have the applications there, and it's really simple. You just talk about what you're interested in, and a panel of juries will decide who gets into the residency. So it was fairly simple.
Mm-hmm. That would be Rebecca Rubens, who's actually, I believe, started the AVA back 100 years ago and took a hiatus and is now back with AVA. How about you, Liz? How did you get involved?
Well, I found out about it through my friend Sarah Henderson. I hadn't heard about the residency until she mentioned having an open studio. I went by to check it out, and ended up speaking with Darren Orange, who has the studio across the way in the Hobson Building. And we spoke a little bit. I was pretty excited about the idea of applying, and he directed me to the website that Kinsey mentioned, and mm-hmm. yeah, the process is really quite simple. I just sent an email
mm-hmm.
With the required elements that they're looking for.
Okay, so what were they looking for? What did you have to do? Were you practicing artists to begin with already? Or
yeah, right, both of us.
Yeah, exactly. And they're looking for visual artists. They want people who are in Astoria.
That's right. For now, it's still local artists.
Yes.
That's right.
And for now, I think, yes, just visual, so mm-hmm. not, you right. know, not music
I
or
think
writing.
They'll stick to that, probably. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think they want to see that you have a clear idea for a project. So, you know, just sent a concise, like, paragraph describing what I wanted to do if I were to have this space for 3 months. And then just a few images of your work.
Okay, as long as we're as long as you just said that, why don't you start, Liz, and tell us what what did you have in mind? What did you submit? Now, I've seen some of your work. I love it, and I'm fascinated by it. I do have a touch of astigmatism, and it really, you know what I'm talking about. It had my head spinning because you've got stuff happening there, and tell us.
Yeah, I do a lot of work with patterns, and I love playing with line width and texture in order to kind of play with our perception of space and dimension. And I do it with a pretty simple palette. Almost all my work is just black and white. But I do many different iterations of that. I do ink on paper, drawings, prints. I've made custom fabric recently. And I just this last year and a half started doing some large-scale mural pieces. And that was the idea that I pitched for my residency was, in addition to working on some of these small studies with ink and paper that I normally do, I wanted to take the 3 months and work on one painting directly on the wall in the studio, which is different than what I ended up doing.
Wait a second. Did you mean you were thinking of actually painting on the wall or putting a canvas on the wall?
No, I was thinking of painting directly on the wall. I've done that before for a couple of temporary gallery shows in Portland and abroad. But
it's very ephemeral because once leave, they have to paint it out and it's all gone. But it also strikes me as there's a bit of a giggle in there because you always... Parents are always telling their children, don't draw on the wall. We'll put some paper there. And here you are saying, I'm going to paint on the wall.
Right.
Yes. Well, you didn't do that.
I didn't do that. No, I had a pretty wild first month of the residency. I started thinking about it and I decided I did want to put a panel on the wall in case I wanted to save the painting.
Yeah.
So I put up my first prototype, a really thin sheet of wood. Painted it over it, gessoed it, was sanding it, and thought, you know what? This isn't working for me. If I'm going to do a panel, I'm just going to make a large, separate canvas or something.
Mm.
So I'm by myself in the studio thinking I could, do it all by myself, trying to yank this panel off the wall. And I yanked it as hard as I could across both of my feet.
Ouch.
And broke some bones. And,
no way.
And yeah. Oh, I broke my toes and...
oh, my goodness.
Ended up having to have some surgery there, too.
Oh, my God. You really get into your work, don't you, Liz?
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no, dear.
All part of the process.
How you doing now?
Much better.
Yeah.
I think the bones are knitted up, and the toenails will take a while to grow back, but I'm definitely on the mend. I have my last x-ray next week, and I'm hoping that I can get the okay to start running again.
This is all for the sake of art. I love it.
Yeah.
You know, this is oh, you're a runner as well?
You were
a runner, and you will be a runner, but right now you're...
Runner and a hiker. I really miss those two things right now.
Yeah, they'll be back.
Yeah,
and you can see pictures of your toes at the gallery.
Oh, yeah, I put up some horrible pictures of the injury for all
black
to see
and blue
in my open studio.
Very colorful, perhaps, when they started.
But
so what did you end up doing instead of this aborted wooden panel?
That's what's been so neat. I feel like I'm really, actually experimenting and trying new things there and not just doing the thing I said I would. I went through that whole thing and realized I'm really interested in painting on large wood panels. And so Darren and I worked together to make some, and I prepped them, and I started, I've started working on a pretty large, a 4x4 foot, wooden piece that's going to be all just... a minimal black and white pattern.
Oh my.
So that's what I'll hope to show on December 19th. I'm going to open up my studio again.
Right. Second Saturday.
Yeah, exactly. December 19th in the Hobson Building, I'm going to open up my studio again. We'll probably have some music too. And I'll show that finished painting.
If that's the 19th, that's actually seems to be the third Saturday. So that's the week after.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's outside of the normal art walk date. Just to have a little more time to make sure the piece is completed.
Right. Yeah. And when you do this work, and I encourage folks to, where should they go to look at your work? because it's hard if you don't know what we're talking about. Words can't really
totally
quite get it. So where can they go to look at besides your studio?
Right? Yeah, just come on down. I have a website that you can see a lot of my work at. It's repeatingpattern.com.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you get the idea, folks. Repeatingpattern.com. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Very powerful. So when you did the 4x4, are you repeating a pattern or you
yeah.
are?
Yeah. Okay. And just through doing studies in this residency studio space, I kind of bumped into a new style of line and texture play that's making everything even more three-dimensional. So I'm taking one of these really new patterns that really comes in and out. It's very optical, and it'll be a giant piece of that.
So if you have astigmatism, as I do, be careful, but enjoy. It definitely will be quite something. And then on the 19th, Liz will be having an open studio. Is that true for you also, Kinsey? Is your studio going to be open on the 19th, or are you going to be on the second
I'm hoping
Saturday?
To come to Liz's studio
oh,
that
good.
Day. It is very... I do want to have a show at the end of my residency, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
The second Saturday of December, we still have quite a few weeks till we're finished,
yeah.
so right. it would be nice to show progress.
How late do you go all the way through the end of December? Is that
yeah,
it?
Yeah, okay. It's probably the next residency for the next two people will be January 1st.
Okay,
yeah.
That makes sense. Yeah, mm-hmm. Keep it clean there. So, okay, well, thank you, Liz. Now, Kinsey Gordon, I wasn't sure. I know Rebecca said she had a great time at the opening, at the last opening. What I had just noted was focus on play. I had acetate and interactive. Now, I haven't seen your work except, you know, static. So now tell us how it works, what you're doing. And by the way, what is your background in art? Get back.
Well, I've been interested in art since I was a little kid. And so over the years, I've been focusing mainly on painting and illustration. I've worked on other mediums as well, but that's the one that I find as I'm getting older, that's the one my interest is in.
How old are you?
I'm turning 23 in December.
Thank
so.
You. I rest my case.
Baby.
As she's getting older, what is your birthday, by the way?
December 28th.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's
so the idea I pitched to the jury for my residency is I wanted to create an interactive experience with illustrations, and they would all be on acetate, which... For people who haven't seen acetate, it's a plastic canvas. It was used primarily for animation in the early days. And so the idea is people come to my studio, my paintings are on this plastic canvas, and they can come in and pick up every piece and overlay them, create their own pieces.
So each piece is separate?
Each piece is separate. An example would be if there was a plant and a pot, they would be separated, and you could put them with each other, or you could make something completely different. Yeah.
Right. How many pieces do you have?
In 6 weeks, I made 54
Ooh,
for the show.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So what else? Now, you said a plant and a pot. What other kinds of things were in there?
Well, a lot of them turned out to be abstract or shapes. There were a few characters I had created, so people in abstract outfits, cats,
And
all different kinds of things.
Are you painting on the acetate?
Yes, I am.
With what?
I'm using mainly acrylic, but gouache is my passion, so I've been mixing the two quite a bit.
Okay. And it doesn't just wash off?
No.
Okay.
It's a thick enough paint that it stays on, but it does create some really beautiful patterns, and every time it comes out differently, it's really difficult to control. It's not like paper at all, so it was a struggle for me because I love hot-pressed watercolor paper, and I love manipulating
now,
that.
Now, had you done this before, or was this...
It was always a dream of mine to have an interactive gallery, but I had been practicing with acetate on top of paper, almost as if it were a flip book of some kind.
A what?
A flip book, as if one layer was covering something to reveal it as you flipped it.
Gotcha. And how big is the with the movement, is that on a large piece of acetate to begin with, or on a canvas? And is it on the floor? It must be on the floor, right?
So each piece of acetate is like 9 by 12 inches.
Oh,
and
that big.
Yeah, okay. And I just welcome people to come in, and they were clipped up on the wall at first. And I told them that there was tape all around the room that they could use, and they should put it wherever they feel they would like to.
Were some people intimidated?
Yeah, it was definitely. I think the best part was that it was a social experiment for me to see who was shy, who wasn't shy, and who came up with the most creative ideas.
Right.
There were some people who completely shocked me, and they made things that were gorgeous and things I hadn't even thought of myself.
And perhaps they hadn't thought of either. They just got into the process. Because there are those of us who are not particularly shy, but we're terrified of the visual arts. and yet, when put into a non-threatening situation, as you're doing, lots of stuff can happen.
Right.
And that's pretty exciting.
I tried to make it as welcoming as possible. I also added some other elements where the floor had a plastic covering on it as well, so it made sounds as you walked on it, and had some music as
so
well.
It's a whole environment
thing. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And did you experience Darren's exhibit that was in the, I don't even know what that building was. Was it the Astor Building? This huge open space and his large paintings?
No. Oh, I've seen photos of that exhibit, yeah.
It was extraordinary. When you were talking about things happening, you know, that was what went on there, because it was the lighting was such that even if you'd been in that space before, there was no way you could recognize it. So all the things you can do to sort of switch out and...
And totally. That's great, yeah. Too, when you have people who come to your show and want to stick around,
mm-hmm.
And not just look at the art and raid the snack tables.
Yeah, I'm going to interject really quick and say that if you're listening to Kinsey describe her piece and trying to imagine it, there's an AVA Facebook page, and I saw last night that there's a pretty lengthy video of people doing stuff in Kinsey's space. So
good.
Check
that out. I don't do Facebook, so how does someone find that?
Oh my god, neither of us do either. Someone else brought their iPad out.
I
bet you could just Google AVA Astoria Facebook.
Okay.
That's my guess, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Probably. Yeah, AVA is Google the Astoria Visual Arts and Facebook. Okay, that's funny. And you're so young. How come you don't? Smart, that's why. That's another. And you're too busy. You're too busy making art. Liz, I don't think I asked you what was your art background. And the way you responded to Kinsey's age, I presume you're a little bit older. Not much.
I'm a bit older. I'm 35.
You're 35?
Yeah, I'm 35.
No way.
Oh.
Wait till you see this woman.
Me.
Yeah, right.
Wait till you see my long streaks of gray hair.
No, it's the broken toes that I'm interested in. Okay, well, that explains, though, the sophistication of your work that you've been. What was your background before you?
Let's see. So I went to Cal Berkeley, and originally I was like a real science and math kid, which I think ends up finding its way into the art I do. That's why I mention it. And
I think so too. The patterning is
right. Yeah, it's pattern watching and equations. So I found my way over to the art department instead pretty quickly, art and humanities, and dropped all the science stuff. And so I got an art degree from there. And
interesting.
Yeah. It was only a few years after I finished school that I got into the direction that I'm still heading off on. I did a bunch of different stuff in college, including mostly like more like new genre, like performance art and video mm-hmm. art and mm-hmm. just kind of crazy stuff. And
that's what we like. Just,
yeah.
We performing artists. I love it.
But it stressed me out really bad to like do installations or make these kind of ephemeral pieces and then have to hold on to these things. And mm-hmm. I didn't want to store any of it. And it was stressful. And I just went, that's it. I only want to do art that's a stress relief and doesn't cause stress. And what would that be? So I just started drawing like really intuitively. And yeah.
Cool. Nice. Well, yeah. And Kinsey, you don't have to hold on to yours either. I would like to incorporate the two of you into my life because I've got way too much, including art. So, well, this is quite wonderful. Now, can folks drop in? Kinsey, you said you like to have people drop. When can they do that? Or can they call you? And how do people contact you?
Well, my studio will be open the next art walk.
Okay.
And that's probably the next
best
time I'll let people in.
Okay.
But I might announce a show later in December.
Okay. Sounds good. And Liz, you're going to be on the 19th of December. And
that's right.
Pretty solid date, too. Okay. And we will for sure announce these. Well, this is wonderful. Do you think that the... I don't have to ask you this because I can hear from everything you just said, both of you, that this receiving the AVA residency was helpful.
Definitely. They were so supportive. Mm-hmm. And for someone who just lives in the community and hasn't shown anyone what they're doing, it was a great response. And it's just been smooth since we got it.
Yeah.
For sure, lots of support.
Yeah, well, that's an interesting thing, too, because they know how to set things up and incorporate you into Art Walk and stuff like that. So, great. Well, congratulations to both of you for
thank you so much.
Receiving this. And I can't wait to see the art. Well, I have to wait. I'll wait. I will wait. And we'll get to see Kinsey Gordon, her work on... during Art Walk, which will be the 12th of December, and we'll announce it then. And then Liz Harris will be the week after on the 19th of December to visit her studio. Thank you so much, both of you, for coming in and sharing your work and your lives and your stories. And Liz, you know, I tell all the theater people to break a leg. You, I'm going to say, please, heal. Heal the foot.
Heal a toe.
Heal a toe. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Okay. And I have a piece of music here for you from Holly Nea right here on Coast Community Radio. Well, that goes out to all of us everywhere. It's what we do with it. That's what counts, and it's up to us to make sure that we do the right thing, because this world is going a little, this world has gone nuts, and it's very hurtful. But there are plenty of people, creative people, working to make sure that things are better for all the beautiful babies that are being born right now, including right here in our community, and the children, and the not-so-children, the rest of us as well. Hey, right here, I just want to tell you, and then I have a fun surprise to finish up the show. Tonight, Friday the 20th, the Peninsula Players are featuring the Birds. This is their last weekend at the in Ilwaukee at the River City Playhouse. Friday and Saturday at 7, Sunday at 2. Riverbend Theater at the NCRD. The 2-1 acts, and that is Friday and Saturday at 7, Sunday at 2. Last weekend, the Coaster you heard about, Once Upon a Mattress, all the way through December 20th. Manzanita Film Series, Cold Weather at 7:30. Suspense Story, filmed in Cannon Beach, Portland, etc. This is this whole weekend of mystery, including an art reception on Saturday and lots more, all at the Hoffman. So check that out. And North Oregon Coast Symphony, Knox, is having a concert at the Performing Arts Center at 7 tonight and 3 o'clock on Sunday at the Rockaway Community Church, Norwegian Melodies. Astoria High School Theater, The Curious Savage, it's a comedy, Friday and Saturday at 7, Sunday at 2, also the last weekend. Whew. And then the Astoria Library at 6 o'clock, the Flat Nines from Portland, Latin, Swing, Blues, Funk, and Soul. And Sand Dune is Manzanita's featuring Jenny Don't and the Spurs tonight and Saturday Night Countryside Ride. And Jenny Don't and the Spurs is going to be at the Sou'wester Saturday night, Roots Country. Spirit Dance, 6 to 8 at Pine Grove Community Center in Manzanita. Sand Trap as the Freak Mountain Ramblers at 7 o'clock tonight. This is all tonight. And Cloud and Leaf Bookstore in Manzanita, 7 o'clock. Floyd Skloot, his latest poetry book. Tomorrow, Ara Lee, I told you about. Bay City Arts Center, 7 o'clock. Gospel Trio. Hope Harris, head upstairs at 1168 in Commercial, number 207, and check out her stuff. St. Mary Star of the Sea on 14th and Grand at 5 o'clock, the Music Festival with the Napa Marimba and more. Seaside Legion at 7, the Davenport Brothers, the Apollo Archive Center, the Punk Syndrome at 11 a.m., Manzanita, we told you about, in the Art Loft, 10 to 4 on Saturday. Corey Dietz from Golden Paints Workshop. Sunday Afternoon Live, that's Sunday, obviously, 2 o'clock. Good Co. Vintage Swing and Electronic Beat, together, all at once. And the Fort George has Luke and Katie again, yummy, yummy, and Nevada Soul. Last Tuesday Poetry coming up at 6:45, 7 o'clock at the Port of Call. That's on Tuesday, obviously. And here's the surprise. Tell us what you got.
The surprise is that Liz is still here. She couldn't get me to leave.
I asked Liz to stay because Liz Harris is not only an artist and has done all this other stuff, but she's a musician. So what are we going to hear?
We're going to hear a song called Motorcycle that my pop band called Helen released just a couple of months ago. All right.